Open your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 1. Wouldn't you like to have a Bible verse or two or three or an entire story for that matter that literally described what you ought to do in a situation? Now, let me explain myself and then we'll make some good sense out of that. Here in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 12 in just a minute, we're going to see a meeting take place. And these fellows that are in this meeting are going to refer back to the book of Psalms, and 109, Psalm 109, Psalm 41, Psalm 55, Psalm 69, four different places at least that they're going to refer to, and here's what they're going to say. That's talking about us. Specific, way back, I'm trying to think of the date, maybe 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ is when the Psalms were written. 1,000 years before these fellows were even born, God had already seen the exact situation they were in, and they knew what to do because the Bible said that they were going to be in that situation, and here's what they were supposed to do about it. Now, I would ask you the question, when was the last time you got in a situation and you asked yourself, what does the Bible say about my situation? Oh, well, I use the word situation kind of freely. When's the last time you were in trouble? When's the last time that you were concerned? When's the last time that you had a need, a problem, a care? And you ask yourself, what does the Bible say about that? Let me ask you this. Does the Bible have something to say? My name might not be in the Bible, and the city I live in might not be in the Bible, and the name of whoever, my employer, so on, those kind of things. It may not be that precise. But folks, the Lord has seen our needs, and the Bible just deals with them. These fellows have got a little bit of an advantage on us because their actual situation was prophesied 1,000 years before they were born. And you don't need to turn to these passages. I'll quote from them as we get there. But there's actually three or four different places in the Psalms where the Scripture specifically told what they were going to be dealing with. I will say this, and this kind of dovetails with my Sunday school lesson this morning. We don't just read the Bible. There's lots of good reasons to read the Bible. It will teach you to love God more. It will teach us more about the Lord. And those are more generic things. It will we'll learn, why does God have stories in the Bible? You know, you say, well, I only know of one time anybody ever got thrown in a fiery furnace. Well, literally speaking, that's true, but a lot of us will go through some fiery trials, won't we? In fact, the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that will try you, as though such some strange thing hath happened. I think that's in Peter. Or you say, well, I've never known anybody except Daniel that got thrown in a lion's den. I've never known anybody except David who fought a giant. I've never known anybody except Joshua who had to see the walls come down. But folks, there are times when we're at risk, just as Daniel with the lions in a similar fashion, but not necessarily at the mouth of beasts. There are times when you and I face giants. The devil's got a full stock of giants, doesn't he? And he can let them go on you. We've been talking about Jericho in the school staff meetings in the morning because we have some students that have built some walls around them. And we would like to see those walls come down. And we were reminded last week, I can't collapse a wall, but God can. May not be a literal wall around a city, but God can break down the walls that people build around themselves and let us in and let us make a difference in their life. So that's what we're going to see tonight in Acts chapter 1 is some men just doing what we need to do, applying the Word of God to their situation and finding out what to do. And we've talked about this on a number of occasions. When we do it God's way, it works. Right? Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read beginning in chapter 1 and verse 12 in the book of Acts. And I'm going to go all the way down to verse 26. It's a little bit of a lengthy passage, but bear with me, please. Acts 1:12. Then returned they. This is immediately after the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Aceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate," that's Psalm 69:25, "let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric," Psalm 109:8, "let another take. Wherefore, of these men, which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justin, or Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots," they're voting is what they're doing, "and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Let's pray. Lord, thank you tonight, the blessing you are to us. We have a church. We have a place to meet. We have people. We have all the things you've given us. But most of all, we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Lord, tonight, we do not deserve the least of your blessings, and yet the Bible says we should come boldly under the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, tonight, we come to that throne of grace. I ask you to set me aside and to let folks see the Word of God clearly tonight, and that they would understand what you have to say to them. And Lord, I pray you would teach us more of how to use the Word of God to guide our lives, and just the fact that we should use the Word of God to guide us, not making decisions without it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What a roller coaster ride these fellows have been on. 40 days since the crucifixion. And, of course, we saw this morning the arrest of the Lord Jesus Christ, which would have been a couple of days before that. The crucifixion, and then there was 40 days, and then the Lord ascended into heaven. 10 more was Pentecost. But they had been with the Lord day by day, every day, and he had guided them, and he had shown them. And I suspect, if you look at something here, they knew the Old Testament well enough to find very specific details in the book of Psalms. We need to know our Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to know your Bible. They knew their Bible well enough that they could go to the Psalms and they could see this is a prophecy about Judas. This is what we need to do as a result of what happened to him. The Bible told us what was going to happen to him. It has happened, and now we need to take action accordingly. Now, there are some people, I heard a fellow on the radio one time, never trust the radio. Heard a fellow on the radio one time say, well, they made a mistake here. I think they're doing the best they can using the Word of God. Someone says, well, you know, Paul was the next apostle. I never see the Bible condemn them for what they're doing. In fact, I think what they're doing here is Bible. They're following the Bible. But these fellows, they knew the Bible well enough. And if you think about it, they had the Lord Jesus Christ to lead them when they were on earth, and now he's ascended into heaven. And how does that feel when all of a sudden you're on your own? But you're not on your own. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And the Holy Spirit can guide you. And if you will spend time, when I was younger, I used to listen and listen and listen and listen and listen to the Bible. And that was back when we had audio cassettes. Nowadays, it's even easier. You can get an MP3. I've listening to the Bible. My phone has apps on it that I can use on the internet and listen to Alexander Scorby reading the Bible to me if I want to. And anyway, you ought to spend enough time in the Bible so that when a question comes up, what should I do? You can look in your reference of Bible knowledge and find the answer. Amen? Whatever that might be. These fellows did. They don't have the Lord with them physically, but they have the Lord with them. In fact, Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's even better in some ways than having the Lord with them. 11 apostles, 120 people all together. They're in Jerusalem. We were in Jerusalem, and someone said, oh, yeah, that upper room is still here. There's a problem with that. In about 170 A.D., the Romans came through and leveled Jerusalem and pulled a plow, a yoke of oxen, pulled a plow across the city, and they said, this city is no more. There's nothing, unless it was buried, left of the Jerusalem from this day. But they were in this upper room there in Jerusalem, and they're united, they're praying, they have leadership. Peter is their leader. And now they're going to make a decision. Unless I forget, in case I forget to tell you, I'll say it now. When we are as a church, when we seek God's will, when we vote on a matter, for example, like when the church votes to call a pastor or the church votes to call, we haven't done this yet, Lord willing we can someday, wouldn't it be great to vote to call an assistant pastor? Amen. You could pray for that. I wouldn't mind it a bit. And, well, you know, we've got the same staff pretty much that we had when I got here. Brother Mendez is the school administrator, and I'm the pastor, and then we got the school staff, and that's it. And someone says, what about the secretary? I haven't got one of those yet. I haven't got a fax machine. We do have a coffee machine. It's kind of, you know. We're about to have a new kitchen. That's kind of nice. But we have what the Lord gave us, and we're happy with that. But if we make a decision as a church, let's vote to, did we vote to tear down those buildings, or did we just do that? I don't know if we voted or not. Did we? Yeah, so we voted on that. Here's the point. Whatever we vote on as a church, your job as a church member, your privilege as a church member, and your responsibility as a church member is to pray and ask God for His will. Should we, I don't know, fill in the blank there. And you pray and you seek God's will. And God's will may not be what we would have thought, but we pray and ask God to show us His will. And I would contend that when you have a room full of people, church members, and they pray for God's will, we're going to find God's will. A lot of the time, we'll see votes be unanimous. Not always. I've had situations in churches where the vote wasn't unanimous. But that's how they found God's will. They prayed and they asked the Lord to show them His will, and they each cast their vote, and the lot fell on this fellow. God never condemns them in the Bible for that. Never. In fact, I think it's a precedent for conducting a business meeting in a church. And so they did what God told them to do, using the Word of God as a guide. Now, look at three things here. We won't be too long. The Word of God is accurate. You would have to agree with me. Perfectly accurate. The Word of God is accurate about the future. Now, when I say future, I'm talking about David in 1000 B.C., 1,000 years before Christ, wrote the Psalms by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he said God gave him songs in the night. It came from God. He wrote it down, and God knew exactly what was going to happen over 1,000 years later. And I'll read you some of these. You probably can't flip to them quick enough, but if you want to jot them down, maybe. They recognized in verse 16, they said, men and brethren, the Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, it which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas. And it is very clear what he's saying there. Folks, God saw it, God prophesied it, and when God says it, that settles it. And so here we go. In Psalm 41, he said, mine own familiar friend, he talked about how Judas was going to betray him, and the Lord Jesus Christ was a friend to Judas. Psalm 55:12, it was not an enemy that reproached me. Again, describing Judas. Psalm 69:20, it says, let his habitation be desolate. And then in Psalm 109, the entire psalm is about Judas. And I won't take you there and read all those for the sake of time. We've done that actually in church recently. But they could see things more clearly because they saw what the Bible had to say about them. They had seen Judas betray Jesus, but they could see things more clearly. Does it give you the peace it gives me when I stop and realize whatever I'm going through, God already saw the conclusion of the matter? Sometimes we worry about what's going to happen instead of trusting God with what's going to happen. And sometimes we worry about what has happened and why it's happened, and God already saw how it was going to happen. And he told them plainly, here's what's going to happen. That's why this morning's message, I get excited about it, because it's as if these men think, oh, we're going to arrest Jesus, or we're going to arrest God, or and Judas thinks, oh, I'm going to trick Jesus, and it's all crazy. You know, there's nothing the Lord Jesus Christ had not seen before the foundation of the world. There's not one bit of power that those men had that he didn't allow them to have. And we sing the song, or I think we've sang it, he could have called 10,000 angels. I know there is a song like that. He could have. And folks, basically what it comes down to is everything is in God's control. Amen? So where are you in your situation? They're asking themselves that same question. What should we do? Well, God's got a say. God's got an opinion on the matter. And he, in his word, has already seen what their situation is. Now, 16, jumping around through 16 through 19, let's just look at a few things here. He says in verse 16, men and brethren, the scripture must need to be fulfilled. He says in verse 7, he was numbered with us. He obtained part of this ministry. And then in verse 18, this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. And don't worry about who's doing what here, but the bottom line is he took that 30 pieces of silver, which was his, and he went back and said, I want to go back. I don't want to do this anymore. It was too late. And he cast the money down and went out and hanged himself. Now I will spare you the grossness of this, but I will just mention to you that when you hang yourself and no one takes you down, you come down eventually. And that's what it's talking about here. Now I won't even go there. So in verse 18, he purchased this field. The money that was his was used to buy this field. He hung himself and his bowels gushed out when he fell down. And the Jerusalem dwellers all knew about it. That kind of news gets around fast, doesn't it? I wonder if anybody put two and two together and realized, this is the man that betrayed Jesus. And look how his life ended. I have been trying and trying and trying. And Bronson's here tonight. He will give me, he'll certify that this is the truth. I've been trying to get my Bible class to see sin isn't worth it. When Eve sinned, what did she think she was going to get? I don't know, but what did she get? Disaster. And when Cain killed Abel, what came? Disaster. Horrible judgment. Sin isn't worth it. The devil's a liar. And the devil tells us if we would do such and such, if we would commit this sin or that sin, that it would be a blessing and help us and we'd be happy and all things would be so much better and you could have what you want. And he's a liar. And I don't know what Judas was thinking. And we talked about this again on a Sunday morning a while back. But I do know this. That 30 pieces of silver was something he hated, that money, after he got it. Rather than making him happy, oh, maybe if I got that money, I can go off on my own now and get away from these guys, and I don't know. It didn't end well. And I tell our students, when you choose sin in your life instead of choosing the Lord Jesus Christ, it will not end well. Especially if you're saved. But either way. So we see the fact is, folks, God's word is accurate about the wages of sin. Amen? That wages of sin is death. God foresaw the betrayal. He foresaw the judgment. He described it in detail. There's a horrible, ugly death in verse 18. His reputation still stands as a man that's killed himself, and the thought of it in verse 19. They name a field, the field of blood, because of what happened there. His family is cursed in Psalm 69. There's a funny word in verse 20. It's the word bishopric. And you wouldn't notice that word and make too much of it, except in Utah, the Mormons like that word. They use that word a whole lot. And it just means ministry or office, basically. It's a position that it's an office, a position. Psalm 109:8 phrases it a little bit differently, but it's the same idea. But it says, and this is what's got him going here in verse 20. It says, his bishopric let another take. In other words, he had a position, he forfeited that, someone else should fill the gap. That's why they're doing what they're doing. They're following the Word of God. I'm just going to ask you, think about it just a minute. In the situation you're in your life right now, you say, Pastor, I have no situation. Praise the Lord, enjoy it. It won't last long. There's always something going on. And folks, that's because God uses situations to get glory. So the situation you're in, whatever it is, you say, I got this problem, I got this need, I got this burden, I got this issue, I got this situation. Have you looked to the Lord to see what to do? You know how to make a really bad mistake? Just knee-jerk reaction without asking God. I used to skydive. I've got a scar on my arm to prove it. And they taught us when we were skydiving, they said, okay, you jump out of the airplane. If you jump out of the airplane from 9,000 feet, which is the highest that you can legally skydive from without getting a clearance from air traffic control, you got about 45 seconds or so of free fall before you got to open your parachute. So you jump out of the airplane, and what you do is you enjoy flying around. And then when you're about 3,000 feet off the ground, you open your parachute. If it doesn't open, you've got about 10 or 15 seconds to decide what to do and to do it. And so this is what they said to us until it was etched in our brains. They said, think before you act, because you might just get one chance. If you have a malfunction or something, before you just stop and think, what should I do? And then do it. And that's because you're not going to get two chances. Now, God's a little better than that to us, but I, in my life, and I suspect some of you as well, have had some times to where I reacted before I found God's will, and I wished I hadn't. I'm not talking about sin right now. I'm talking about impatience. The simple application is, these fellows saw in the Word of God, somebody should replace this man, and then they put that into action, and they found a replacement for him. But first, they found out what God wanted. Do you see? Now, in your situation, God has a will. Would you agree? So the question is, what is it? And too often, what we tend to do is, and at least I see people do this, we're not sure what to do, so we quit. I'll do something different. You know, I'll quit my job. I'll quit my ministry. I'll quit whatever. And often do that within anger, which is also a lousy way to make a decision. The Bible says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The minute somebody's angry, guarantee you, it's not going to accomplish God's will. It's going to cause some other problem. So the Bible says, what we need to do is we need to find God's will and then act upon it. Amen? That's what they did. And have you asked God what to do? Amen? And I can think to myself, I've got some situation. And you know how you ask God what to do? You just pray. And you wait and see what he shows you in the Bible. And guess what? That works. Amen? Now again, you ought to know your Bible. It may be that when you ask God what to do, you'll right away think, oh yeah, I remember how so-and-so in the Bible did it. That's why those fellows are in there. There are examples for us. That's what the Bible says in Peter. So the Word of God is accurate about the future. The Word of God saw what was going to happen. The Word of God is accurate about the facts. The wages of sin were described in the Bible. Now the Word of God is accurate about, and I'm just using the letter F here, so bear with me, our fate or our present situation. Now, let's turn to Psalm 109. Just keep your marker here in Acts 1, but I just want to read this one passage, Psalm 109, in verse 8. Psalm 109:8, let his days be few, that's talking about Judas Iscariot, and let another take his office. Let another take his office. This is the verse that they're applying 1,000 years later. Sounds to me like they had the word of God. Amen? They had the Psalms, we know that. Let another take his office. And so in verse 21, they say, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus Christ went in and out among us, which of these men, and they had to be with them beginning at the baptism of John until the day he ascended, must one be ordained to be a witness of his resurrection? And that tells me something. We often talk about the 12, the disciples we call them. We use the word apostles as well. But there were some other fellows hanging around as well. And they had been there the whole time, apparently, to the extent that now one of them, this is the qualification, by the way, for an apostle, is somebody that saw the Lord Jesus Christ when he was alive. And Paul saw him because he appeared to him. That's another matter. But anyway, they said, you know, we need to find somebody qualified, and then he's going to take the place of Judas Iscariot, because the Bible says, let another take his ministry. Do you understand it's an honor to serve God? And I think of the fact that in heaven, there are going to be rewards, and our rewards are going to be based on what we've done for the Lord. But we don't serve him because of what we get. We serve him because of the fact that we love him. And it's a privilege to be in that office. They sought the replacement. Let another take his office. They sought somebody who witnessed the resurrection. We won't turn there, but in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, it says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him rise from the dead. They didn't see the actual event, but they saw him after he was risen. What have you and I seen? You ever seen God work? You ever seen the Bible prove itself true? We have a faith. The Bible says that faith, our faith is so great it's counted for righteousness, but we walk by faith, not by sight. They saw some things. They could tell some people, we saw the risen Savior. But I know the risen Savior, he lives in my heart. Amen? Someone says, how do you know there's a God? Well, first of all, because I'm not so foolish to think creation is a fallacy. I can see evolution is. But I can see there's a God because of creation, but I know there's a God because he knows me. And I know him. These fellows had actually seen this, and they picked somebody who had seen it. They knew that was a qualification. They sought somebody. It says they prayed in verse 24, and they said this, thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship. I like that prayer. I asked you the question earlier, when was the last time you looked to the Bible to find the answer to your situation? When's the last time you asked God for the answer? Do you think God would answer you? You might not get an email. Haven't had that happen yet. Might not get a phone call or a text message. But God gives us answers, doesn't he? Lord, show us. Now, that's why I do not believe when someone says that this was a mistake. I don't think this was a mistake at all. I think these fellows are following the word of God. They're following the will of God. They've sought the decision that God would make. And they vote. And they pick this man in verse 26. And the lot fell upon Matthias. And he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And if I remember correctly, we never hear another thing about him in the Bible. But this is a pretty good one right here. That they would seek God's will and God would say, this is the man. And you know what? My name isn't in the Bible. I've seen no Georges in there anywhere. And your name might not be in the Bible unless you happen to have a Bible name. But just because you're not in the Bible doesn't mean God doesn't have a job for you. Amen? And here these fellows, they pick Matthias, and I don't know about his ministry. I don't know what he does or doesn't do. I haven't studied him all that much. But what an honor to be chosen by God to be one of those 12. And all that came to pass because they believed the word of God. They studied the Bible. They knew it very well. They applied the Bible. And they experienced the power of the Bible. They saw it fulfilled in their life. They saw it fulfilled in Judas. And now they're benefactors of that promise in verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. Great grace fell upon them all. You know what we need at Vision Baptist Church? We need the will of God. I can find the will of God for my life, but we all need to do that. Amen? We need the power of God. And the Bible says the preaching of the cross is power unto us that believe. The preaching of the Bible is what's going to have to get the job done. Someone says, I came to church and all they did was preach the Bible. My thought would be, praise the Lord. Because I've been in churches where they didn't preach the Bible, not as a member, but as a visitor. That's what we need, is the Word of God. It really is sufficient. And it really can guide us. And if you ask God, He really can show you His will. And after seeing what I saw this morning, when the Lord Jesus Christ allowed Himself to be arrested and tried and convicted and crucified for my sins and for yours, I think I can trust Him with my life. But He did not leave us without guidance, and He did not leave us without help and direction. It's right here. You can trust it. I'm glad to hear that testimony tonight. Get in the Bible every day. Well, Pastor, I read the Bible one time and I didn't see a life-changing verse. Well, look a little closer. Because there's life-changing verses in there. And you may not get one of those thunderstrike moments every morning when you read the Bible. But I'll tell you this, if you don't read the Bible, you're not ever going to have one of those. Amen? And we don't read the Bible because of some great feeling it gives us, although it gives us a good feeling. We read it because God speaks to us. Let's all stand and pray.